Damon Arundel wants to change the world, not by marching in the streets or canvassing for votes. Arundel's weapon is poetry. He uses words to change one life at a time. This year, KUOW and the Seattle Times are introducing you to people who are shaping the Northwest's cultural landscape. We call the series 13 for 13. Today, KUOW's Marcy Silman brings us Damon Arundel's story.
Raise your hand. Any poets who are competing?
It's a Friday night in early March. A small goateed man corrals a dozen teenagers into a stairwell backstage at Town Hall Seattle. These teens are finalists in the Youth Speaks All City Grand Slam, a spoken word poetry contest. The small man is their mentor, Damon Arundel.
I am not the mentor, but I am a mentor.
A poetry slam isn't like open mic night at the local coffee house. Poets take the stage, usually one by one, to perform their work. A panel of judges rates the performances on a scale of 1 to 10. At this slam, Damon Arundel will spend the evening backstage coaching the young competitors.
Helping them to get past the idea of the competition in the first place. Because it's a ridiculous concept to be judged on your art by random people.
It may be ridiculous, but Damon Arundel has devoted almost 15 years to spoken word poetry. His passion was kindled in 1999 when he was a student at Michigan State University.
I saw an article in the paper that Annie DeFranco was doing this big poetry festival back in New York City. And me and a group of my friends decided to road trip to this big festival. It's called the First Annual People's Poetry Gathering.
At the time, Arundel was studying to be a veterinarian. Although he kept a journal and sometimes wrote what he calls really, really bad poems, Damon Arundel wasn't into poetry. Poetry was for other people.
People who didn't look like me. Old dead white guys, traditionally talking about nature. Or, in general, just things that didn't connect to me.
But at the People's Poetry Gathering, Arundel saw Seattle writer Sherman Alexie perform.
He crafted something that changed me. He wasn't performing, he was chanting something. It was like something was being channeled through him.
This is the kind of cliche a poet would never use, but for Arundel, it was a seismic moment of recognition. He saw people like him, brown-skinned, young, urban people, embracing the written and spoken word, and he loved it.
From that point, my ears are just tuned for poetry. I'm looking for it on a regular basis.
By the time Damon Arundel arrived in Seattle 2 years later, he'd given up the idea of being a veterinarian. He got a job at a teen crisis hotline, and he wrote about his work.
Now, I do this stuff part-time, because I only got part of my senses. The rest, I spent partially putting back together the parts of our sons and daughters that are pushed to the back of the bus, kept under lock and key. Kids who have parts of their self-esteem intact, and the rest just a trail of breadcrumbs lost in the forest of adolescence.
Damon Arundel worked at the Crisis Center by day. His free time was devoted to poetry. Arundel attended weekly poetry slams. Eventually, he became the slam master, the person who organizes the events. And he wove his love of poetry into his work with teens.
I met Damon at Langston Hughes Performing Arts Center when we would have our weekly writing circles, which were like this golden time.
That's hip-hop artist Hollis Wong Ware. She's best known these days for her work in the music industry, producing and performing with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. But Wong Ware says 7 years ago, when she was a freshman at Seattle University, her path wasn't so clear.
I was a freaked out 18-year-old kid, and Damon was the most calming, steadying, and, you know, affirming guy ever.
Wong Ware says Damon Arundel helped her to find her poetic voice. She says he's still influential for her and for the other young writers he mentors. Ultimately, Damon Arundel left his day job to focus full-time on teaching poetry to young people. These jobs pay the bills. They also push him to honor the artist part of his title, teaching artist.
For a long time, my focus was, all right, I'm teaching. And I kept hearing this voice in the back of my head, where's your legitimacy if you're not writing and performing?
But it's hard for Arundel to find time to sit down to do his own work. He's like a poetry evangelist. When he's not teaching high school kids, Arundel works with prisoners at Monroe Correctional Complex. Writer Sherman Alexie doesn't participate in poetry slams anymore, but he says this spoken word art form can have a significant political and social impact.
You know, slam poetry gives a voice to those who are powerless. It's a lot of kids, and it's a lot of poor kids, and it's a lot of poor brown kids. It's a venue for them to have power. And even if nobody's listening, in the power structure, it's self-empowering.
Backstage at the Youth Speaks Grand Slam, that self-empowerment is evident. All kinds of teenagers are here. Young African-American men in high-top sneakers and jeans. Girls in headscarves and long dresses. Gay teens, straight teens. They watch nervous with excitement as Damon Derrindell performs a poem he hopes will set them on fire when it's their turn on stage.
Atlantic, when you speak, chip your crooked teeth into a savage halo. Bravery will never belong to the beautiful.
I'm Marcy Silman, KUOW News.
Remember that you are a conduit of the wind and admit to me that you can fly. I am the only thing you will ever truly own. I am your voice, and I am your only chance at freedom.